Hi, I'm Derek.
And hi, I'm Darren, and you're listening to Revolt Lab,
a podcast about changing what we do in education. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us again. We're happy to have you back with another Revolt Lab discussion. And this evening is a true pleasure because Bill, our friend that we're interviewing tonight, Bill is actually who introduced Darren and I. I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple of years ago, Bill independently reached out to me and reached out to Darren and reached out to another great principal, Nancy, said, hey, let's get together and share about innovative learning spaces. And that's the kind of guy Bill is. Bill is a connector. He's an innovator. He's a forward thinker. And then he's just a great relationship builder. And I'm glad to call him friend. So, hey, Bill, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, guys. Great to be with you today. I consider you guys good friends and just love the partnership that we have together and the connection and the networking. And I got to tell you, gentlemen, through the two of you, I've grown a lot just from your friendship and your network and watching you grow as principals and as leaders. So it's been a pleasure to walk alongside you in the journey and to be part of that. The one of the things is I've been a principal or assistant principal now for 22 years. I've been in education for 26. I live in a suburb of Philadelphia. You see, go Phillies, got the Phillies hat on. And I am principal at the high school that I went to as a kid. And I've been the principal there for 7 years, and I'm just honored to really be working with such an amazing group of people, just people that I love dearly, people that are just amazing and resilient. And our school has gone really a long way. It's come a long way in just developing, you know, an effective, creative learning environment for students. And part of that, you know, is a part of our journey with Apple, and we're an Apple Distinguished School. I'm honored to be an Apple Distinguished Educator as of 2019, and I'm also on the board of directors for the National Association of Secondary School Principals. So just, you know, a lot of work with the Principal Association connecting and both here in Pennsylvania and also in nationwide.
Cool. So Bill, before we get into some specifics, I want to get a little bit more into the personal Bill a little bit. So I'm going to ask this question, and it's not so much about your career because you've already told us about your distinguished career. You know, that's great. But Bill, tell us, who were you, who are you, and who do you hope to be?
Yeah. So that is a great set of questions. I love that. Who were I, who was I, who am I, and who do I hope to be? I absolutely love that. Derek, it's the first time I've ever been asked that. And I love it. You know, who was I? I'm going to take you back a little bit. I'm going to take you back to growing up as a kid. I grew up in an amazing family with a mom and dad that, oh man, they're saints. They're angels of God and just amazing people. And I had a sister who was just awesome. Total rock star. Me and my sister were best friends growing up. And she was 4 years older than me. So in school, she was always the smartest kid in the school, highest achieving honors, valedictorian. I remember in middle school, I think she was the valedictorian if they had one in the middle school. And then I came along, and you know, Jane was brilliant. She studied like a crazy person. What a sweet spirit. I love my sister to death. She was amazing. And so she sort of blazed the trail from the Ziegler family of, you know, mom and dad, blue collar workers. Mom was a stay-at-home mom and dad was a machinist. And both of them just had a high school diploma equivalency, and they really wanted to make sure that their kids would go off to college. So, you know, growing up in school, I lived under the shadow academically of my sister, with people saying, oh my goodness, you are not like Jane. What happened here? Did you skip a generation? You know, because I struggled as a learner. I was lazy. I was unfocused. I'm sure you find that hard to believe. I couldn't stay focused in the classroom.
Oh my
God. Still in the classroom. And I wanted to be the social guy, right? So I was popular, had fun, and for me, school was fun. So in ninth grade, we enrolled in school. My dad said to me, you're going college prep because my son's going to college. And I said, okay, I'm doing this. I'm going to enroll in college prep in ninth grade. And I'll never forget it. It was in November. We were at a parent-teacher conference, and we're sitting in the room. I could tell you the room we were in. That's how distinct this is. And my teachers are around the room, and they go around, and they're telling me, you know, about how bad of a student I am, how I don't study, I'm not organized, you know, my notebook's always falling apart. And then they get her over to the one teacher, and the one teacher looks my mom and dad in the eye and say, Mr. and Mrs. Ziegler, you just need to realize this now. He said, your son is not college material. He'll never make it in college.
Wow.
And
really?
And for me, I took those words literally. Like, I internalized those words, and those words stuck with me. So right there, I got out of college prep, and I went in the business/general track, and I graduated from high school, and I was going to be an electrician. I wasn't going to be college until my dad said, you're still going to college. I don't believe what that teacher said. My mom says we don't believe that. My sister supported me. And my dad enrolled me in a local community college. And I remember going, Dad, you can enroll me, but I'm not going. And he says, yes, you are. Get in the car. And so I get in the car, and he takes me down there. And I'll never forget, I'm 18 years old. He drops me off at our local community college. And when he turns around, I just turn around crying, because I'm like, I am scared to death to go to community college. Like, and, you know, it was the best thing that happened to me academically. I went to community college, and I didn't study a day in my life. And I got a 2.67 or something like that. And I passed just because I attended every class and I could take it on. And then what I found was I got all A's in my history classes, and I went into education because that's where I knew that, you know, the education class, the only reason I went into the education class is that's where all the good looking girls were. So I was like, and I got to take an elective. I'm taking elective where all the good looking girls are. So I take that elective and I'm like, oh my goodness, I love this. I love being a teacher. And then I was like, I'm really good at social studies. I'm going to be a social studies teacher. So I going off to college and everything. But here's the coolest story with that. So
are you saying that wasn't the cool story?
No, this is the neatest story for me. This is the whole neat part, right? So on May 20th of 2005 at Temple University, after going to school for so many years, I was asked to lead the procession into the Leah Kohr Center at Temple University as a doctor of education. So John Chaney, who was the basketball coach at Temple at the time, it was me, John Chaney, and another doctoral student. Since Temple was an origin from an education school from origin, they always lead off with a doctor. So I led the procession at Temple University's commencement ceremony. And on 2005, I became Dr. William Ziegler. And the reason I share it's awesome is because, you know, it's a dream fulfilled of what my mom and dad saw in me. And when you ask where I was, that's who I was, right? I was a kid that didn't believe in myself academically until I found what I loved and my passion. And where am I now? I love what I do. I am the principal of high school that I went to school as a kid. I absolutely love it. There's challenges that just drive you crazy, but it's also, oh my goodness, it's so energizing to really know that you're making a difference in the life of a kid. I'll give you this example. So one mom just texted me. She said, hey, Dr. Z, I just want to thank you so much. My daughter got a full ride scholarship to the engineering program. And, you know, you wrote her a letter. You did a lot for that. And really, I didn't do anything. She did it all on her own. But just hearing those things, it's just so empowering. But so where am I at now? I'm a dad of two college students. My son's a Penn Stater. We are! Okay. There's got to be a Penn Stater listening to this, right?
Hey, and, he plays the trombone. I'm a fan.
Exactly. He plays trombone in the band. And my daughter, she goes to the same community college I went to as a kid, and been married to my wife this coming July, 25 years. So,
congrats, man.
Yeah, thank you. Whew. And where do I want to go? I want to go to a place where I continue to really make a difference in the lives of kids and families and communities. And for me, it's about looking at, you know, where am I supposed to be? And I think it's here in my home school, right? Just serving out as the principal here probably, and just really serving and bringing our community together, especially during these times. I think they're going to need a leader that's going to help heal our whole community. We're not in a hot spot of the epicenter of this, but I can tell you, between living near New York and Philadelphia, you know, our cases, we're the number one county outside of Philadelphia in the state that has COVID right now. And it's been tough. So where do I want to be? I want to be somewhere where I'm making a difference, where I'm changing the world, and where we're, you know, really being change makers for the goodness of kids.
Well, from where I sit, you're doing just that, sir. And as our listeners learn more about you on social media or just connecting with you, they'll I'm sure they'll say the same thing. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's great. Sure.
Thanks.
So Bill, let's dig into Apple, because just knowing you, I know you're definitely ingrained into the Apple ecosystem, and you're an Apple Distinguished Educator, which congratulations, that's a huge honor. But taking all that, let's throw that into one question here, because really our podcast is about creating, just looking at things revolutionizing education. So take what you're doing with your ADE and things with Apple, and what do you see that you guys are doing differently that is really going to impact schools in the future?
Yeah, so I think the first thing, I'll talk a little bit about my school, and then I'll talk globally, just like as an Apple Distinguished Educator, and I'm also on the Apple Distinguished Schools Advisory Board. So I get to see a glimpse into what other schools are doing. So at Pottsgrove, one of the things that has just really solidified our ability to get on the ground running quicker than other schools in our area was our digital engagement already. So all of our students are one-to-one with MacBook Airs, and our teachers were using Schoology, which is our learning management system, and already in the process of getting kids to be dependent and reliant on technology for engaging learning. So I think for us, when we hit that ground, it was a little bit easier than some of the other schools. I'm not saying we didn't have a bump along the road, because we certainly did, but I think it was softer because of the work that we've done through our Apple. In addition to this, one of the things that I really liked what our school did a few years ago was we brought in an Apple professional learning coach to work in job-embedded coaching with our teachers, and we found it to be really, really powerful. So this year, we're really excited about something called Apple Professional Learning Online. So it's one-to-one virtual coaching with our teachers. And so last month, in the month of April, we asked all of our teachers to schedule on their own time whenever they wanted to, whenever's most convenient to them, a 30-minute one-on-one session with an Apple professional learning coach. And wow, just seeing the reflections and the report outs on how our teachers have changed in some of their thinking and learning how to use tools on the Mac that they didn't know, such as QuickTime or Photo Booth, or digging in more to iMovie and GarageBand and some of those tools, but also learning how to use things like Flipgrid, right? And some of the other different tools out there. I think it's really helped. So this month, in month of May, we're going to be digging into asking our teachers to learn a new accessibility tool on the Mac, and how can they use that accessibility tool to support students. And I think the virtual online one-to-one coaching, it's personalized. It's personalized in the sense of what do I want to learn about, but it's also convenient for the teacher, because let's say they have four kids and they know that, early morning works better. They can schedule it when they want to. And then I think the last piece is it's sustainable, right? So the one thing I like about it is it's not just a one-shot deal. This is something that we can sustain over time, we believe. Right now, Apple, it's completely free for any school, Apple school, non-Apple school. You just go to, I forget what the email is. I can send it to you guys. It's like Apple Professional Learning at apple.com, whatever it is. And I will get that to you. And what you do is you schedule the time. Even principals can do it. I plan on doing it. I'm going to do it in the month of May so I can learn also and challenge myself. But I encourage all your listeners to take some time to really dig into that and take use of that resource.
So, Bill, I appreciate you. We appreciate you sharing that for a couple of reasons. of course, we know Apple makes a great product, and Darren is an Apple district. I was in the Apple district, and we know they have incredible support. But I want to bird walk a little bit. To go back to a piece that Darren and I talk about regularly, and that's professional development for teachers. You hit on such an interesting piece, and if we can go into a little bit deeper, I'd love to. And that's not just coaching, which I don't think principals and school leaders are trained well enough in coaching, in prep programs. But then one-on-one coaching. One-on-one coaching is just so powerful. And so if you want to make a change, it's not one person in the room with 10 people. It's one-on-one. It's that conversation and that growth piece. How many of your teachers have participated in this so far? And have you talked to any of them to get feedback from them about how it's going?
Yeah, so all of our teachers participated in April. And they actually do a reflection log as a report out. and it's been outstanding. So we did a Likert scale on 1 to 5, and most of them are in the 4s and 5s. Only 2 had a 2 and 2 out of 3, which is highly unusual for a professional learning with us, right? So it's really, we found it really to be really valuable for the people that are doing it. And I think here's the reason why. It's not like I learned something globally for the whole school. This is, where does Bill Ziegler need to get better on using the Mac to engage kids? Because I think one of the things it's about, right? And you guys, I love your book and I love what you guys stand for, because it's about a revolution, right? We need to change how we're doing learning. And if this pandemic doesn't change how we learn, as we grow as educators and as we learn, we have failed in our role as being school leaders, in my opinion. Because here's why. I think that we need to move kids to being creators, designers, publishers, right? Kids need, why can't kids today be solving today's real world problems? Why do we tell kids you have to wait for tomorrow until you graduate to get out there and solve the problems? No, I love what Darren's doing at Harrisburg Middle School, right? Getting kids to really get passionate about cleaning up our waters and getting plastic out of there. And I think about it with our kids. How can our kids get excited about making a difference right now where they're at? And that's the thing I love about this Apple Distinguished 101 Professional Learning is that it challenges you to grow in the area that you need to grow in. So you self-reflect, you look at it, and then it's 101. It's almost like attorney-client privilege in some ways, right? And we just ask them to reflect out and share out what they're doing. And it's been really powerful. But I think, you know, when I look at us as educators, now's the time to change. Because one thing we've learned through this, I think, is we need to design assessments that kids can't Google, right? Because my daughter and my son's at a great college institution, so is my daughter. But come on, the teacher even says to him, you can use any tool you need to answer these questions. Like, why are we designing tests that kids can Google, right? Here's how I like to think about it. If I put an Alexa or a Siri or a Google Home in your classroom and kids could ask it any question, how would it change your teaching?
Right.
So, you know, it's something to think about as educators as we come out of this pandemic. We need to change in how we do things so kids can't Google assignments.
I think I've heard, I forget who I heard say it, but if you can Google the answer, you're asking the wrong question. I
mean, that's exactly right.
Just it. And that's one of the things that we talk about regularly is from our old school mindset, so many of us are just naturally inclined and indoctrinated to ask what is it red or white, you know, or a naked math problem instead of digging deeper, instead of what are you passionate about? What do you want to do? How can we tap into your creativity? Imagine if we start tapping to students' creativities early on, and they have that expectation growing up and out of school. You know, we see a whole different level of problem solving by the time they get out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I think it reminds me of I'm on the Apple Distinguished Schools Advisory Board, so I actually get to evaluate the applications that come in from schools on to be Apple Distinguished Schools. And it reminds me of a school led by a principal outside of Chicago. And she has a genius bar. Like if you go into Apple Store, it's called the Genius Bar, where you can take your computer back and they'll fix it for you, or they'll teach you how to use your iPhone or teach you how to use your iPad, right? So what she did was she created a Genius Bar in her library. She turned her library, a part of it, into a Genius Bar. And what she has is she has kids that are like the Apple Clips expert. You can ask this kid anything about Apple Clips. You can ask this kid anything about an iOS device and he'll help you. And it's not just technical, but it's educational too. So she actually has kids that went on Common Sense Media and took the course on social media use. And then she has kids that teaches other students appropriate use of social media. And so when we get back to school, we were actually just starting to get this going. We were gonna call it the Tech Deck, which I love, right? The Tech Deck. And when we get back, we're going to continue that Tech Deck where we get kids involved helping other kids. And then like every day of the week, they would provide a professional learning strategy. So like today you might learn about clips. Tomorrow you might learn about how to create a good video, how to tell a great story, how to start your own podcast, that type of thing.
That's awesome. Bill, I think you're exactly right. I've been telling people one of three things is going to happen through the pandemic. And one of those three is those educators that have been more timid about taking on technology, they have no choice. And they're going to have to take it on. And I've even heard from some of my staff, but even like my kids go to a different school, those instructors they've been stretched a lot. And I think that's one of the three things you're going to see from this. So absolutely agree.
Yeah, we can't be the same again because of this. We have to be different. We have to be stronger and better. And here's just exactly what you said, Darren. Being digitally savvy, not every teacher certainly was before this pandemic. But after this pandemic, they're going to be a lot stronger and richer than they were before. And that needs to continue when we get back to the classroom. So I expect some of the things that they're doing right now, if a kid can't make it to school for 4 or 5 days because they're sick or they something going on, why can't we Zoom them into the classroom now? Rather than paying on an online course for a kid to take a course, why can't I just drop that kid into the online virtual world of Zoom in your classroom? That's where we need to be getting to do some things that are really different and change us when we go back.
Boom. There you go. That's awesome. That's great stuff.
I want to tell you guys something really cool that we do. It's part of our Apple thing, but we actually have robots for all of our, we have 7 robots in our school for kids who can't come to school for whatever reason. It might be medical, might be mental health issues, whatever it might be, but they actually have a robot. It's an iPad on a stem with a ball, and it has a speaker and a microphone, and the kid actually controls it. So like in classroom, he can like turn or she can turn and talk to her classmates. And I think it's ways like this that technology is empowering learners to do things they could never do before. And that's where the pandemic here has empowered educators to do something they didn't know they could do before. And that's why we need to change moving forward and be revolutionary like your book talks about in moving us forward.
You know, Bill, so to our listeners out there, again, Darren and I have known Bill for some years. Actually, a little bit of trivia. Bill, remember the first time you wore a bow tie?
I do remember the first time, absolutely. You taught me how to tie a bow tie. I owe it to you.
That's exactly, me and John Bernier, that's exactly right.
John Bernier, we were in Penn State, I think it was.
That's right. So I don't know why my mind went there, but it did. Bill, you know, I know you're doing some fantastic things. You just talked about the robot students use for telepresence to get into their classrooms or whatnot. But Darren, I know you, you have 2 books out. Both of your books talk to principals about, they just talk to principals and help principals come up. What do you say to principals who have comments like my school or my students aren't ready for this, or you know, the robots sound cool, but my school isn't ready for that, or something along those lines. I only ask that again because I know you do a lot of leadership talk and leadership development.
Yeah, I'd give you this example. I wasn't ready to start learning how to tie a bow tie until a guy came alongside me like Derek McCoy and said to me, here's how you do it, Bill. I remember you tied it on your thigh at first. Remember that?
That's exactly right.
And showed me how to do it. And then you actually had me do it. And I'm like doing that. And I'm like, there's no way I can do this. I'm left-handed. I can't learn this the way you can learn this. I'm finding every excuse in the book. And you know what? Now it's like that old nature to me. And I owe it to you. And here's why. It's something I never thought I could do, but I do it on a regular and consistent basis now. Because right. Someone like you, it's someone, you are the person that came alongside me and showed me how to do it. And I think as leaders, we need to find that person in our staff or that student that's going to show us how to do things. And we need to have an open mind. Because even though you might think our school's not there, your staff and your students may. And here's the bottom line, leaders, I got to tell you this one. It's time to wake up. It's time to revolt like a pirate and to be part of this bounty in the sense of taking over the ship that says, listen, we need to change. Because if we don't change moving forward, we will become antiquated and out of date and irrelevant to kids. And I think one of the things that I'm very passionate about in my book, Future Focused Leaders, in my book, You Don't Need to Superpowers to Be a Kid's Hero, and in my podcast, Lead the Way, I'm passionate about opening the door for leaders in a way that empowers them to make real and sustainable change in their school. Not flash in the pan change, because that's not healthy. We all have seen that, right? When I grew up, I remember teachers used to say, oh, whatever's on the cover of ASCD, that's what we're going to be doing this month, right? And that's like so old school, right? But now it's whatever my leader sees on social media, they're going to do it right away. Well, that's not effective either, because it's haphazard leadership. What we need is a leader that's focused, determined, and driven toward moving kids forward in the right direction.
So let's stay on the vein of leadership here, Bill. So tell us, what is the different that's needed in leadership today?
What was that again? One more time.
What's the different that's needed in leadership today to be effective?
Yeah, without a doubt. First thing comes to my mind is being a courageous leader, right? I think more than ever right now, we need leaders who are courageous, who are willing to take a risk, and who are willing to say, listen, we're going to move forward together, right? Courageous collaboration. We need to be collaborating together, courageously making, working together to have the courage to say to a teacher, listen, that's not how we treat kids. That's not how we do this. Listen, those practices are old and outdated. We need to change that and to really work courageously to move us forward. But if we don't do it with collaboration, it's going to fail and sputter, right? And I think that we can't be the solo leader that's making decisions and leading us forward. We got to do it with people collaboratively. And that requires us to build leadership capacity within our teaching staff and even our student body leadership capacity. So that means the last C, I think, that it's important is communication, right? Just communicating, connecting with people. So communication and connecting, collaboration and courageous leadership is really important.
That's great. That's cool. Well, guys, thank you for joining us tonight. Bill, thank you. Listen, when Darren and I decided to do this, a name at the top of that list was Bill Ziegler. And I'm sure our listeners, after hearing our talk tonight, understand and know why. Bill, to close us out, tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, first of all, guys, I just want to thank you so much for being good friends to me, inspiring me. You push me and challenging me to be better, and I want to thank you for your friendship. It means the world to me. I consider you both brothers, and I'm just so grateful for that. Listeners, check me out on my website. It's chaselearning.org, chaselearning.org. You can also find me on Twitter at Dr. Bill Ziegler. It's DrBillZiegler. And I encourage you to check out my podcast. It's called Lead the Way with Dr. Bill Ziegler. It's a podcast for principals by principals in 5 minutes or less.
Perfect. All right. Bill, it's great to see you as always. And everyone that's listening, make sure that you connect with them. If you talk about people that are just always willing to help out in whatever way, I mean, there's no catches with Bill. I mean, if you need something, have a question, there's no fee. He wants to help. And that's the great piece about Dr. Bill Ziegler. Thanks, Bill, for joining us. And everyone, take care.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's been an honor.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast today. We are committed to changing what we do for the betterment of our learners.
I also want to encourage you to check out our book, The Revolution. It's time to empower change in our schools. Make sure you check it out on Amazon, and also check out future or present podcasts that we have within this Revolt Lab. And please feel free to leave some comments or even rate it on iTunes or Android.